play at the steeple here at Dundee Law Parish Church. You will see that there's various members dressed up in lovely outfits, so I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen next. Unfortunately, I have a few notices, three of which are in relation to deaths of members of this congregation. Many of you will know about the death of Eleanor Redfern earlier this week, who died in Roxburgh House very peacefully. You may well also have heard of the death of Jean Dorman, who made it to her 100th year, and she died in Mingus Hill House on the 17th of December, I think it was. Her family are having a private funeral rather than making it open. And the final one I've been notified of is a gentleman, Tom McGovern, who died at the beginning of December, and his funeral took place on Thursday the 19th, and that funeral had been led by Robert Calvert. Tom was somebody that came along quite regularly during the time that Robert was here. So sad news for us, but good news for them because they are now safe. I also wanted to mention that we're having a communion service on the first Sunday in January, on the 5th of January, and that service will be led by Emma MacDonald. And I'm now going to pass over to John McMillan, who I'm sure has got everything under control today.
Thank you, Alison. Good morning, everyone. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with us all. This is an exciting service, thanks to those who dressed up. If you've not dressed up, that's not a criticism. You're free to be as you are. Of all the three deaths that were mentioned, the only one I knew was Eleanor. I went to meet her three times, once in her own house in Monique before she went into Roxburgh, and then twice there. And what I learned about her was a most remarkable woman. On her wall in the living room were pictures of mountains, including Buccellette of Moher. And that got us into a great long conversation about her, what she called hill walking, but I preferred to call mountaineering because it didn't look like hill walking. And she also had been to Norway, which is a place I go a lot. So could we perhaps just have a moment of stillness to give thanks for the lives of Eleanor and Tom and Jean and pray for their families and friends. But I'm just going to leave you to do that to yourselves. Let's just have a few moments of silence. May God bless all these prayers we made in his name. Amen. In terms of services coming up, there's a service here on Christmas Eve at 5 o'clock. It's going to be a contemplative, reflective service. There's a service the following day, Christmas Day, but that's at Coldside at 10:30. So we're doing these two services in tune with each other. If 5 o'clock is too early for you on Tuesday because you're working or whatever, I'm doing the same service in Wormwood at 7 o'clock. So cross the river and you can get it there 2 hours later. Next Sunday, the 29th, the last Sunday of the year, my theme is going to be take it as a compliment. If you get a Christmas present on Wednesday you're really delighted with, I'm hoping for at least one of these, please bring it with you on Sunday and we might discuss it. So that's next week. Right, we're going to start this service as we often do in Advent with the lighting of the candles, and Mary and one of the angels have been booked for that job. Mina and Tabula, out you come. You know it works? Come around this side so you don't. Okay. Good. Thank you both. A wee round of applause for. My call to worship comes from one of last week's readings. It's Isaiah 9, 6 to 7. For a child has been born for us, the gift of a son for us. He'll take over the running of the world. His names will be Amazing Counselor, Strong God, Eternal Father, Prince of Wholeness. His ruling authority will grow, and there'll be no limits to the wholeness that he brings. Amen. Let's start our service with O Come, Emmanuel. Let us come together in prayer. Let us pray. Living, loving Lord, that hymn we have just sung, one that includes some dark imagery, is one that we much enjoy as part of our Advent season, as it carries all the promise of our faith. We are promised your victory over the grave. We are promised that death's dark shadows will be put to flight. We are promised that you will close the path to misery. This, though classically an Advent hymn, declares so vividly how the arrival of the human Emmanuel is so totally bound up in crucifixion and resurrection, and through that, our salvation. So, Father, we are in the last phase of our preparation and anticipation for the greatest act of love of all human time. We know that the Incarnation, which we will celebrate on Wednesday, the act of the divine becoming human so as to be our sacrifice, the fact that you pressed home the concept of humility in such an extraordinary way by arriving as a baby in a manger, we know that all of these are the tenets of our faith. We are blessed by these facts, but we are truly blessed by your love. We celebrate them in awe and admiration and love of you. Today we present our all-age nativity play, Luke 2 enacted out. One feature of that is how ordinary the participants in your birth story were, ordinary people like us. This past week in our Advent reflections, the theme has been humility. We have tried to absorb that theme of you dying for us as a slave, while all around us in 2024, celebrity culture is our secular culture. We are blessed by our own participation this morning in your great act of love. Help us to do so in humility. Help us to participate in humility. Bless us in this seasonal act of worship. The fourth candle represents love, the love that came down at Christmas. Just as we've journeyed through peace and hope and joy, so we concentrate today on your great act of love. And in all that loving context, we give thanks for the offering received, howsoever, open plate, free will offering, or direct bank payment. We commend it and bless it for your church's use. Continue to drive our generosity, Heavenly Father, in our money, our time, and our talents this and every week. And finally, in all that loving context, we confess our sins for what we have done when we shouldn't have done it, for what we omitted to do when we should have done it. We repent these failings. We seek your forgiveness as we promise to forgive those who sin against us, just as Jesus required in the prayer that he left for us. Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Forgive us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Ursula is going to read for us that Luke 2 story, and then we'll sing the first Noel.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Please join in with the first Noel after the introduction. Thank you.
Thank you.
So it's time for the nativity play. There are only two speaking parts, which are going to be performed by David and by Tricia, up at the front here. Everyone else you see dressed up has got a kind of walk-on part, and we're hoping that it will be organized chaos, and I'm going to shout them out when they're needed. In the middle of it, we're going to sing the hymn that I played at the end of last week's service. It was On a Starry Night. Now, by a stroke of luck, Mary and the angel who lit the candles know the actions to Starry Night. So they'll be up the front doing all that. And if you feel moved to do so, join in. They're easy actions to follow. It's called Everyone is Welcome. So, Tricia, where are you? And David.
The main event? What do you mean? We've already opened presents. Surely that was the main event?
Oh, no. The main event is about remembering why we receive presents. Well, please don't tell me you've forgotten that. If you've forgotten that, then you've forgotten what Christmas is really all about.
No, I've not forgotten. But I do love presents. By the way, did everyone receive a present?
Oh, well, yes, of course they did. Now, no one is left out today when it comes to receiving a present, a beautiful meal. And don't you know why?
Go on, enlighten me.
Because everyone is important, and everyone is welcome. Which leads me on to the main event. Because, you see,
can we stop calling it the main event, please? I think it's time to say what it truly is. It's the birth of Jesus.
Yes, that's right. At the birth of Jesus, everyone was welcome. From the poor, humble shepherds to the wealthy, wise men, and some people even thought those wise men were kings.
Here we go then. Oh. And just to remind people, you are all very welcome. Also, if you have a character from the birth of Jesus nativity scene, when you hear your character's name, you know what to do.
Right, here's the story. Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman Empire. So everyone went back to their own towns to register.
So Joseph went from Nazareth to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and ancestral line of King David. He went to Bethlehem with Mary, as they were to be married, and Mary was expecting a child.
Right, we need Joseph and Mary, and they're going to be carrying the baby even though it's not arrived yet.
Nearby, there were shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks at night.
Now we need shepherds, and if you were listening to the reading, it said they hurried.
We should kind of stand behind or near.
Then an angel the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. I said that they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news, which will bring great joy to everyone."
The angel said, "Okay." Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. Go, and you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.
And then suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying,
Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.
I think you were right.
The birth of Jesus was the main event. That tiny baby in the manger changed history forever. And do you know what I think I would have loved the most?
No. What's that? Is it the part where Jesus gets lots of gifts? Because if that's what you're thinking, then you can't just think that yet, because that's in our next hymn.
Actually, no. What I think I would have loved the most is the sound of the angels singing glory to God. I imagine the sound was simply heavenly.
Well, looking around here, I think we have a few extra angels today. So let's sing our next carol, and it may just be that you feel like you're back there with the shepherds on that starry night.
again. They did sing like angels. Now, is it time to think about gifts again?
Yes, well, I think it is time to think about gifts. But there was so much that must have happened before the wise men brought their gifts to Jesus, you know.
Really? What do you mean?
Well, you see, they lived far, far away from Bethlehem, which meant they needed to travel a very long journey. Mm-hmm. So they would have had to get their camels all prepared and loaded up with enough water and food so as not to get hungry on the journey. And they didn't have any road maps, nor sat maps in those days. So they had to work very, very hard on their journey plan.
Ah, yes. They studied the stars, didn't they? When I look up at the stars at night, I find the stars fascinating. And to think that one star led the wise men all the way to Jesus. That is incredible.
Yes, I agree. In fact, you could say that it was a startling, a star event.
Oh, please, we get the picture. Well, you're right. The star did lead the wise men to Jesus. Shall we see what happened? Hopefully, our stable will get a little bit more crowded as the wise men join in.
It's okay, we need to be patient and come a long distance.
Right, wise men, we need you from the east.
Yeah, I think you should read something first.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem during the time of King Herod, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him."
When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. He gathered the chief priests and the teachers of the law together and asked where the Messiah was to be born.
"Oh, in Bethlehem," they replied, "just as the prophet Isaiah foretold."
Then Herod called the wise men to him and found out from them exactly where the star had appeared.
"And he sent the wise men to Bethlehem, asking them to report back to him once they had found the baby Jesus, pretending that he too wanted to worship him."
The wise men went on their way and followed the star, which stopped over the place where baby Jesus was.
"And on coming to the stable, they saw
they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Thank goodness for that.
"I was so pleased the wise men found Jesus. I was even more pleased that they understood how to follow a star. I'm sure I know where to start."
"Yes, me too. Well, if we look at the nativity table now, it is getting quite crowded, isn't it? So many different people who went to find Jesus and were welcomed in by his parents to meet their new baby. Quite a beautiful sight, really, don't you think?"
"Oh, yes, yes, I agree. And it helps me to remember that this is exactly what God had planned. He wanted the ordinary, everyday people to share the wonder of the birth of Jesus. The shepherds who had to sleep out on the hillside over a dark night sky. The angels who sang their praises to God. Oh, and not forgetting the wise men. still bow down in a lowly stable because they were actually in the presence of a star, Jesus himself.
Wow, the main event is a great story, isn't
it? Oh, it certainly is. Oh, by the way, I have a gift for you. Would you like to have it now?
Oh, yes, please. You know, I love gifts. Oh, thank you so much. Oh, it's a star.
Yes, a star to take home and remind you that we can all be stars with God's help, no matter who we are. So go, you too. Go and shine bright. Be a star.
We're all right. No, you have participated so wonderfully, but also the people seen in costume. Round of applause for everybody. Now, if you're about my age and lived through the 1970s, the tune that we're about to hear strikes you as morning has broken, because in those days Cat Stevens was singing it and it was a hit record. But the tune, of course, is really Child in the Manger. It goes away back, it's called Bunessen, it goes away back to, I think, 18th century or before. So we're going to sing that together, Child in the Manger, Infant of Mary. I thought I would share a very brief thought for the day. It kind of was stimulated by that play, the way it was written by whoever it was that wrote it, and I hasten to say it wasn't me. But the play started off with that discussion of the main event and a bit of confusion as to why we share presents or a meal at this time of year. And there is a phrase that many of you will be familiar with, and it's a curious phrase, and it's the reference to this picture. You cannot see the wood for the trees. It's rather a curious phrase, not obvious exactly what it means. I looked it up. It's ascribed to a man called John Heywood, who is believed to have written it as long ago as 1546, so not much off 500 years ago. And I guess we know what it means. It kind of means that we can't see the big picture because we get buried in the detail. You cannot see the wood for the trees. Our English is a rich language full of idioms. But the point of my thought for the day is this. In 2024 secular society, there's a real danger that we cannot see Christ for Christmas. the baggage of eating, drinking, cooking, shopping, preparing, partying all week long makes that risk clear. Just watch the TV or listen to the radio. It's all Christmas with a small C and never Christ with a big C. But the fact that we are worshipping every Advent Sunday, and hopefully you may be here on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, suggests that you are indeed keeping the Christ in Christmas. If you can't be at those services for a good reason, remember to take a moment in Bible reading or in prayer. This is all about Christ's birth. That is our faith. So the simple, humble message in this all-age nativity play is about the Christ in Christmas. May we see the wood all week long and not the trees, indeed all life long. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Right, Phyllida is going to pray for us, and then we'll close with as with gladness, men of old.
Let's pray together. After the angels, there were shepherds, the lowest of the low, invited to see the newborn king, and they abandoned their flock and went. Father, we would leave behind our concerns and focus on this amazing gift. So many things distract us at this time of year, but for us, it must be all about the child in the manger. Today we mourn the death of our friend Eleanor. We remember her many years of singing with the music group, and as we pray for her family and friends, we also pray for Jean Dorman's family at this time of loss. We pray for the people of Magdeburg, still shocked and alarmed by yesterday's events. We pray for the families who have lost loved ones and for all who are affected by this attack. Following the change of regime in Sudan, we have been horrified by the history of cruelty revealed. We remember that following the birth of Jesus, Herod also ordered a terrible vengeance on the babies in Bethlehem. We pray for all who have concerns about their family's safety. And as the Holy Family became migrants, we pray for all who flee from danger on their homelands. We thank you, Father, for the amazing generosity of Dean and his team. Once again, they fed 200 people here last week. May they know your blessing. Over the next few days, many of our friends and our relatives will be traveling, and so we pray for their safety at this time. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. May our hearts be filled with gratitude for Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.
As we gladness bring, O
go from here into these final few days of Advent, buoyed up by our singing, our praying, and our participation in our Advent play. May we be grounded all week in the arrival of the Christ child, and may we be blessed by that memory. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and those we love in this world and the next, and those are still to come this Christmas week and beyond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now please be seated. The innkeepers in the Christmas story got a bit of a bad press, but our innkeepers...
Wish you a Merry Christmas.